Why don't we just start this week?
That's no fun.
Play the music. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Grill Podcast for April 1st, 2011. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother AJ.
Hello.
And what's going on today, AJ? You got news for us?
Yep.
If it's April Fool's, you're going to give me a fake news story?
Maybe.
Oh, man. I don't know what to trust. You have no credibility. Because you just said you plan to lie to me eventually.
Maybe. I said maybe. Maybe I won't.
That still hurts your credibility.
Maybe I won't, and you'll think something was a lie. And then you're just living a lie.
I don't know what's real and what's not. I'm an insider.
What is reality?
I don't know. All right, so we'll do the news. We'll do Let's Go Topical, including responses from last week and next week's community question. Then we'll do a week in gaming, talk about the releases, and that'll be the show. So go ahead. Let's hear your news.
Okay. First up is the new Resident Evil game announcement called Operation Raccoon City.
April Fools. You got me there.
It's a third-person shooter that's squad-based.
Did you just completely ignore... Okay, yeah, this is actually real, right? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, because it sounds fake.
Well, kind of. It sounds like they're basically making... it's like...
A shooter set in the Resident
Evil
universe.
It's like Rainbow Six Resident Evil. Maybe more like Gra Resident Evil.
Mm.
But, yeah, sure, whatever. Why the hell not? They're not survival horror games anymore. I might as well just start exploiting other genres. I'm sure it'll look very pretty. That's kind
of
one thing to forget about Resident Evil 5. It was a very pretty-looking game.
Yeah, the MT engine is very nice.
The what engine?
What's called MT Framework or whatever.
What else is it used for?
Marvel's Capcom 3.
Oh, that's nice.
And I believe Lost Planet 2.
That was another very good-looking game.
Yeah, it's a good engine.
Mm-hmm.
It does very nice depth of field and motion blur.
If you say so.
Yes,
I do. Was Vanquish made with it by any chance?
I don't know.
I do not know. All right, what's next?
L.A. Noire is going to actually be the first video game displayed at the Tribeca Film Festival.
April Fools.
Also true.
No. Yeah, I know. Okay, well, that's nice for them, I guess. I mean, what does that mean, though? Like, what are they going to do? They're going to play for them for a bit?
No, it's like they're calling it, like, an interactive event.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I guess the audience will get to participate.
See, I feel like the audience that, like, doesn't play video games is going to be really into it and think that's really cool until the point where they get into, like, a random fist fight with somebody.
Yeah.
And then it does turn into kind of more of a video game.
Yeah. But who knows? Could go well.
We'll see.
They're doing the preview of the next Xbox 360 update, which if you didn't sign up for it already, they just announced not too long ago that sign-ups are done.
April Fools? No.
Look, I'm not going to do the April Fools anymore. You've ruined it.
Congratulations. No, you have to throw one in. What's this about?
Anyway, the big thing with this update is apparently it's going to change the way the 360 can read discs. I guess from what I understand, no one's for sure on this yet, but like I guess a lot of, like up to a gigabyte of the disk is taken up by DRM, and this update's going to change the way the disk have to be made, so less space is taken up by the DRM and giving more space back to developers.
Nice.
If you're accepted into the preview program, you are getting a free copy of Halo Reach, because you know you can't test new disk without new disk.
Oh, for sure. That's nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
April Fools, are they really not all getting Halo Reach? Because that'd be a funny April Fools.
No, they
Everyone's
are.
Everyone's getting a free game. Law. Ha. Checked ya. Next.
Penny Arcade's Lookouts series is getting a hybrid board game and tabletop role-playing game.
April Fools?
No.
I know it's not. Law. Yeah, that'll be cool, I guess. We'll play it and stuff.
Yeah, it looks pretty sweet. Hopefully. I like the Lookouts.
You think they'll release like the first half of it and then stop making it?
Ooh.
Ooh.
That still does piss me off. I still don't know to this day what's going on in that comic.
There was something. What comic?
And the one that those guests drew. Because here's the thing.
No, that was a reference to press. To Precipice.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought it was the comic. No,
the arcade.
I want someone to answer this for me. Actually, this is what I should ask at the Q&A, although it's kind of a dick move. Anyway,
insult them at the Q&A.
No, it's a clarification, because I can't tell.
That would be the ultimate... You'd be like that guy in the episode of the Itchy and Scratchy and Woofy or Poochie episode, be like, in one episode, Scratchy plays two different bones on his xylophone, but yeah, two completely different notes are played. Are we supposed to believe that this is a magic xylophone? That's yes. You. This is you.
Okay, but here's my question.
What it looked like in the one panel, the one boy was turned to a stone, but then later he seemed completely fine.
Well, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I think it was just the boy looked similar and it was a different boy. You got
but
confused.
It wasn't. He was half turned into stone, so it wasn't like a pre-existing stone statue. It was half stone.
Got better. Don't worry about it.
And then, like, later on, the other kid's just like grabbing him by the arm, and he's like, okay. And I'm like, what the hell's going on?
It was a guest strip. It's non-canonical.
I guess.
I was originally, I was definitely not even making a reference to that. I was making a much better reference to their episodic video game they only released the first half of. It makes a lot more sense then, doesn't
it? They released the first two-thirds of.
No, it was going to be four parts.
It was?
Yes, it was, yeah.
How do you know that?
What?
Why would it be four?
Because it was! What do you mean, why?
When did they ever say that?
Of course they did. The whole point of it was that there was like four monsters coming. There's four... Oh, my God. I can't believe I have to
look
this.
Oh, you're right. Up. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Right? Oh, my God.
Did you ever read the episode 3 stuff?
No. Did you?
Me neither.
God, I'm so mad right now. 3. Who's ever released an episodic anything? Like, okay, no, 3 episodes.
I don't know. Everything's in threes.
No, they're not. What's next?
Lord of the Rings is in 3.
That's a trilogy. It's movies. Completely different.
Capcom has confirmed a October 26th release date for Mega Man Universe.
Oh, that's the April Fool's because it's actually canceled.
That's right. Boy, did I just get you all?
Yep.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
Doesn't help that Inafune left Capcom and that apparently it was pretty bad.
Yeah, like it seemed like it got massacred, the one pressing. It was weird because like everyone complained the controls are bad. To me, it seems like, well, just import the normal Mega Man controls.
Yeah, that seems like an easy fix. I mean, everyone knows how Mega Man plays. I don't understand how you screwed up in the first place, but...
I don't know how programming works, but whatever algorithms there are for his jumping and shit like that, can't you just copy and paste that from Mega Man 10 or something?
Right.
Like, I don't know. We're going to talk more about this later, though.
Okay. I just guess that our world will not be megafied.
No. I mean, they made some awesome commercials for it.
I know.
What did Inafune leave for?
It's always... he didn't like the way Capcom was managing things. I don't know. Nothing was really said.
I feel... But it's weird. I don't know. The whole thing seems weird to me.
It always feels weird to me when, like, a game that was well-publicized when it was announced is canceled. And, like... But, like... I mean, games get canceled all the time. You're like, oh, whatever. Like... Well, for example, the next story... Sony Online Entertainment has canceled the agency.
Well, sure they have.
Yeah.
Like, of course they were.
But, like, you know, that, I'm like, oh, I don't even know what that really was, except it was some kind of spy MMO, so, okay.
See, yeah, this is once again, stop making MMOs, you're all gonna lose your jobs. But, yeah, I don't know, the whole thing
is weird. They did it to focus their efforts on the EverQuest franchise and PlanetSide. So, I can't be too upset.
PlanetSide?
Yes.
What do you mean, focus their efforts on? Are they making a new one or something?
Okay, now it's my turn to be indignant. What? We've talked about this multiple times.
Did we?
There were screenshots.
Is this an April Fool's?
No! Are you kidding? This has been in the news like 3 different times that they're making a new PlanetSide. And then you sit there going, actually, PlanetSide wasn't as good as you thought it was, Andrew.
It wasn't that good. You're dumb. It wasn't that good. No one liked PlanetSide except for
everyone
you.
Everyone liked PlanetSide.
No one did. No one liked PlanetSide.
I bet everyone listening to this podcast has fond memories of PlanetSide.
Everyone who listens to this podcast has never played PlanetSide and wonder why we're talking about it more than any other game so far this week. God, PlanetSide sucks. Everyone's going to play Firefall, not PlanetSide 2. Man, awesome. Yeah, that's going to go really well for them. I bet they're going to sell a lot of those.
I bet I'll do just fine.
Yeah, I bet it won't. I bet Firefall will do a lot better since it's free. So, whoops.
Okay, Google has removed a PlayStation emulator from the Android market, presumably because of the upcoming Xperia Play launch, which would make sense.
Indeed. Now we have to pay for that shit.
Okay, that's done. I wish this was an April Fool's joke. There's a 2D Blood Rain game coming to PSN and XBLA.
Blood Rain.
The best part is there's like a trailer. I'm like, okay, watch this trailer. It was literally three silhouettes of concept art, like just moving. Like, I mean, nice like fucking PowerPoint moving.
Ooh, well done. Blood Rain. There's a franchise that did not need to be brought back.
No.
Blood Rain.
It does have intrinsic appeal to a core demographic. I mean, it's a sexy vampire who fights Nazis.
I guess so. It was almost too much. Like, you can't have that many, like...
tropes that will attract, like,
yes,
teenage boys.
Yes, I was saying, tropes is a good one.
Thank you.
She may as well also have lasers in a spaceship.
Oh, man, I'd buy that game.
Yeah. Spaceship vampires who are fighting Nazis. Like, that's
in space.
Yes, in space. And, you know, in a fantasy world in space.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Now what is it, huh?
But then the wizards are on technology with vampires, but the Nazis... I don't get it. Are there dinosaurs?
All right. So we've taken this as far as it can go.
Okay, good enough. In a very strange twist, GameStop has bought Impulse.
Who is Impulse again?
Oh, brother.
Don't you owe brother me?
They're like the Steam competitor.
I know. Well, it's not been much of a competitor.
No, they do prove. It's the one that Stardock owned. You know, the guys who make Sins of a Solar Empire.
Oh, man. With a flagship title like that behind them.
That's a very popular game, okay?
Man, I mean, Steve just had Half-Life 2, but whoa. Sins of the Solar Empire. Fuck, look out. Impulse. Good thing he bought that shit up. What's Impulse? Oh, God, Mike, I can't believe you don't know. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know about that place I could go to buy Sins of the Solar Empire online. Well,
they sell the Mass Effect games.
Oh, they got Mass Effect on there. Like, okay. Aren't those also on Steam, though? Okay. I think I just got... I owned you there. Mike won. Oh, man. Sins of the Solar Empire. All right. Next.
They also bought Spawn Labs, which I guess is creating some sort of on-live competitor, so GameStop's preparing for the inevitable end of brick-and-mortar stores.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Mm-hmm. My final story, and I don't know if you're going to bring this up later or not. Earlier this week, Metacritic started giving ratings on individual developers based on aggregates of the scores of games they made. Turns out that was a bad idea, so they went ahead and got rid of that forever.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't really going to talk about this anymore. Later. But, I mean, yeah, clearly kind of an offensive, not great idea.
Yes.
It's belittling, and no good would have come from that. So, yeah, they got rid of it at least, so that's good. All right. You ready?
Yes.
For the Let's Go topical. All right, so I asked, last week we just asked what your favorite DS game was, and we got a couple responses. Drew Robbins says probably a tie between Hotel Dusk and EBA. Though Mike was spot on with the Ghost Trick praise, that's at least worth an honorable mention. Are you going to really play Ghost Trick anytime soon?
Someday.
I don't believe you. Okay, Matt Jigger?
No, Jigeri.
Jigeri.
I think.
Matt Jigeri.
Is the E silent or not? That's the last thing I haven't figured out yet.
Maybe it's Matt Jiger, like a tiger.
No, it's
I'm
going
to say Matt Jiger.
It's either Jigger or Jigeri. So,
I like
Matt,
Jiger.
If it's Jigger, respond with A. If it's Jigeri, respond with B. If it's neither, respond with C.
If it's Jiger, respond with a lol. I echo AJ's statements, he says and continues.
Sentiments, he actually said.
I echo AJ's sentiments. EBA ranks as one of my favorites, too. Tetris DS is almost up there. A real shame they discontinued it. There's so much to catch up on with the DS, I've got a ton of bargain bin hunting to do. So,
Tetris DS was really good, and it's dumb though. Like, you can't buy Tetris anymore.
Right. I mean, it's good. For me, it's still Tetris at the end of the day.
Yeah, but it was a good version.
Sure.
Good multiplayer.
A lot of EBA love, though.
Yes.
Joey never got that sequel.
I think we might have to unanimously say EBA, best DS game.
If we must.
Okay.
If we must. All right.
If we must.
Okay, next topic. Mega Man Universe's cancellation is a disappointment.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, that first announcement trailer, I was like, what the fuck is this? then it was like, okay, so it's like a new Mega Man game. It's like 2D gameplay with 3D graphics. You could pick all these weird different character models.
I think basically it was like it was Mega Man 2 with a big level editor.
Yeah, and I was like, well, that's really just Mega Man powered up. Okay, that could be fun, but whatever.
It's kind of a high-res Mega Man powered up 2.
Yeah, except it wasn't directly Mega Man 2, was it?
No, yeah, like I think like base stages it came with were Mega Man 2 stages.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm actually a little more disappointed. Right. I like Mega Man 2.
Well, sure. Who does not? I mean, I thought it was really neat the way it, like just the trope of playing through these like a Mega Man game with like different Capcom characters or different Mega Mans.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that's kind of
Mega Men.
Right, because they all have the different styles. Even just the other Mega Mans, because the one can only just attack, the other one can charge, slide. Mega Man X can wall jump, and you have Ryu and stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand how they screw that up, honestly.
It seemed neat enough. I feel like... I'm not sure. I'm sure Inafune left had something to do with it. I wonder what the fate of Legends 3 is going to be.
Oh, could you imagine the nerd rage if that got canceled?
Apparently it was never officially greenlit. Like, they just started doing all that, like, oh, help us develop it. And, like, I think we're helping them, like, pitch the game more than
maybe
anything.
This is why Inafune left, because they weren't going to.
But he left a while ago. They've been doing stuff with that since then, at least. Mega Man Universe, we have not heard, like, I was actually thinking about it the other day. It was actually kind of weird about how we have not heard a thing about Mega Man Universe in a while, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was canceled. So, first off, aren't I smart? Because, I mean, you just take my word that I saw this coming. But, I mean, you know, the writing was kind of on the wall. I think it's a little sad. I thought it was great that we brought Mega Man back, and I thought, you know, more exposure would have been a good thing. Hopefully they're doing something. I still really wish they would just make a really high-profile AAA Mega Man game again.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I didn't like the retro break, you know, things. But, like, this was going to be, you know, Xbox Live Arcade, PSN... Okay, again. Like you know, I think it would have been interesting. I think I might have played it a couple of times. I still think, just look at Ratchet and Clank, look at something like Metroid Prime, just try to, like, make an awesome 3D Mega Man game. Give it a shot, at least. So, I mean,
I still want that Mega Man game using the Metroid Prime engine.
Yeah.
Put that shit on 3DS, it'll be sweet.
I think the ship sailed on that one. But, slightly disappointed, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, Silicon Knights, who is now suing Epic, is only suing Epic because they're bitter.
Wait, I'm sorry, I actually missed this. Give me the background.
Now, see, okay, am I allowed to sigh at you disappointingly like you did for me?
No.
Don't you remember that they were talking about this a long time ago, where, you know, because they used the Epic engine for,
This is like two years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's moving forward now.
Okay, I remember
it's going
now.
To a jury.
Well, just refresh everybody.
But what happened is they use freaking the Unreal Engine, right? That's Epic Unreal, yeah. They used the Unreal Engine to make Too Human. And what basically Silicon Knights claims is that Epic was holding back on them specifically to hurt Too Human, so that wouldn't be able to compete with Gears of War.
Which is stupid, but...
It seems weird just because those games don't even seem related, or...
Well, there's that. Where do you think Epic actually makes most of their money?
Isn't it from licensing the Unreal
games? Yeah, they want Unreal games to be as good as possible so more people make Unreal games.
See, like, that's how I feel, too. There's, like, just reading, like, the comments on Joystick, what the story was, like, you know how Joystick has that thing where, like, you can downvote or upvote, and it becomes, like, invisible? Anybody who was siding with Epic on this one was, like, invisible text and hard to read.
That's so awesome.
That was weird to me. I really thought that we had all turned on Dennis Dyack a long time ago. I guess we're supporting him now again.
Like, the one console future's coming to fruition.
Dude, that guy made Too Human, though. Fuck him. And he says stupid shit, apparently, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, that was him, Christ. I don't know, like, you know, maybe they have a valid point. I don't know why we haven't heard more people complaining about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's weird that, you know, other people have released games at the same time as a Gears title.
I don't think the fact that, like, if Too Human had come out 2 years earlier than it did, I don't think it would have saved much face or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's it's kind of weird because I feel like to really understand this case, I have to understand a lot more about the court system. I need to understand a lot more about programming than I do.
Right.
But just, I don't know.
It's still pretty ludicrous.
Well, I'll admit that I am not likely to take Silicon Knights' side in any argument right now. I'm likely just to look at them and say, hey, you guys made Too Human. That was funny when you guys made Too Human and then haven't done anything since then, wasn't it? What are they doing now? I assume not Too Human 2.
No, that X-Men game.
Which X-Men game? They're making an X-Men game?
Yeah, it's like there's new X-Men involved.
What is? I don't understand.
Hang on, I'll get a.
Is this like they're like we're gonna get our money back by doing a licensed game?
I guess. Hang on, I'll find this for you. I forget what the hell it's called or what it's really about.
X-Men Destiny.
That's the one.
I did not know this was a thing. Well, what if this sucks too? Then they're really gonna be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, well, maybe they won't be. Who knows? It'll be licensed, so there'll be enough people to buy it, maybe. All right, next. Okay, so this is, I guess there's going to be a lot of backstory for this. Kind of interesting. But Joystick, right. I'm talking a lot about Joystick today. I've been going to Joystick a lot since Kotaku and Gawker.
Redesigned, and it looks dumb.
Yeah, Joystick has kind of been my go-to now. But so, did you see Joystick, they reviewed the new Tiger Woods, the Masters game, right?
Possibly. I don't know if I read it. I read some reviews. I forget if I read that one or not.
Well, his whole review, this guy, was, and I'm not going to say names, but his whole thing was, he like wrote like a story. And it was like about him and his caddy and stuff like that. It was kind of interesting. That's and I've nice. Heard I've heard other people do things like this too. Somebody from Bitmobile talked once. Can't remember who now. Or no, maybe it was even on that one up yours thing we listened to, where someone said that they wrote a review for one of the Gran Turismos, where instead of a traditional review, it was just like, they talked about one race, and what happened in that one race and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of interesting, and it might be better writing, but, you know, almost all of the commenters said, well, is the game good? What are the features? You know, what's different? Because at the end, he still put, like, three out of four stars, whatever they do on Joystick.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what do you kind of prefer? Do you like reviews that, like, are a bit more creative, maybe more interesting to read? Or do you really kind of just want a feature list and just want to know how good a game is? Like, basically, do you want a creative writing review, something like interesting to read, like something that would be in the New Yorker, or do you want a product review?
No, it gets into, you know, what is a review? Is it like a buyer's guide? Is it a criticism? Is it one person's opinion? That's the thing. It's not really defined. But I think generally the audience tends to think of them as a buyer's guide because there's still a point of view of gaming as being a software product sometimes more than an art form or entertainment even.
Right.
Especially when, you know, it is a $60 investment, which is a little more substantial than, you know, going to see a movie for $12. So I think there is an expectation that there's some, I don't know, hard facts to it.
Right, well.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, I'm kind of just glancing at this right now. I've got it pulled up. It's a neat format. I don't know if I'd call if when you put review on it, I think that biases the audience. Like,
I think it's a nice story, but when you put review on it and when you have your stars,
well, and here's the problem. When you do this and then put a score to it, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. And you know, almost everyone in the comments didn't like it. And I think somebody from Joystick tried to defend it, and then that got people upset more. I always hate that, too, when, like, everyone in the comments or, you know, your fan, whenever your reader base says they don't like something and, like, you come out and yell at them, they're your reader base. If they don't like something, if, you know, don't still tell them, oh, well, if you don't like the way we do reviews, then leave. What?
Yeah, then your site's going to not be there anymore.
Right. I think you can find something of a happy balance with this. Like, I learned a lot about writing reviews just in the, you know, this is my first year writing reviews and just from, you know, because especially my first couple ones, I'd have people look over them and tell me what I should do differently. And, like, the first time you want to do it, you do write basically, like, you can easily write a very dry product description. Like, talk about, you know, well, this paragraph's going to talk about the controls.
Mm-hmm.
This paragraph's going to talk about this new feature and then this new feature. And it's hard to do that. And I'm sure even when you've become more creative with it, it must get tiresome to be writing what you almost feel like is PR sheets for a game sometimes.
Right.
But that review is almost just too
It's much. Too far the other way, yeah.
Way too far, I think. All right. Okay, you expect Metal Gear Solid 5 to be announced this year.
Oh.
No? There is some rumblings about this. You haven't heard?
Yeah, but no.
Why not?
A, Rising's coming.
Rising's a spinoff weird thing.
I don't know. Like,
would you want one? How about that?
Not really.
But now, here's what I say. Absolutely, I want one. I don't know what you're going to do, because I know, like, the story and everything. But think about Metal Gear Solid 4.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everyone remembers all the cutscenes. Wasn't the gameplay in that, when you did play it, and a lot of people kind of forget it, like, the marriage of shooting and stealth and that, wasn't that kind of fantastic?
Well, it was great, but the story was batshit insane and
okay.
Went on too long.
But I really want more of that. Like, maybe this time, do put more game in there. Make what Snake Eater was for Metal Gear Solid 2, this could be for Metal Gear Solid 4.
They would tell you that was Peace Walker.
But that wasn't. Peace Walker was bullshit.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? But no, seriously, I would love a Metal Gear Solid 5. I still liked Metal Gear Solid 4. You did too.
I did too. I thought it was fine. I just...
You did not think it was fine. You gushed about it. We both loved it. Don't be retroactive with this shit.
I know. I don't know.
Don't. See, I hate when people retroactively dislike a game. I just haven't wanted
a new Metal Gear. I think I'm done with it, and that's fine.
I kind of miss that whole stealth shooting thing in Metal Gear, though. I want it. And like I said, Metal Gear Solid 4, they kind of got an engine that works so beautifully. I almost feel like it's a shame that you only got like 4 hours of gameplay out of that. Like, you know, let's go back to that well a little bit. If ever a sequel is justified, almost, like, this time we can just make a game out of it and not have to worry so much about tying up all the loose ends and this and that. And Rising looks cool. I think it'll be fun. But it won't play like a Metal Gear Solid game, really. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it will. I think there's a better chance than you think. I think it might be announced. I doubt it will literally be... It won't be Solid Snake, you know, oh, he's actually still alive, surprise. But, you know...
I still want my Metal Gear Solid 4, I don't know...
Like, substance, dividend
or something.
What do you mean?
Every other one had, like, some kind of remake that enhanced brought it to other platforms.
I would like one that was released just to get rid of the installation between chapters. That was crazy, wasn't it? Jeez. I think that was, like, the one game where they said, we can't do this on the 360, and I totally believed them.
Yeah, that is true.
I was like, yes, no, you cannot, sir. Like, this seems like the PS3 can't process this shit. No, I would totally be down for Metal Gear Solid 5. I know there's a lot of haters now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe that you, like, let that seep in, by the way. Like, all of a sudden,
I guess I did.
You sounded more down. You sounded so down on Metal Gear Solid 4. We loved Metal Gear Solid 4. We did, remember? I'm like, distressed. How, like, apathetic you became about it after the fact.
You know what? You know what? I sussed this out in my head. I like Metal Gear Solid 4. I hate the way Konami handles the franchise.
In what way?
First of all, I mean, I've made well known how I hated their trailers for Metal Gear Solid 4 were just entire cutscenes in their entirety, out of context.
They gave way too much.
I hate, you know, like, Metal Gear Online was awful.
It wasn't awful. It was fine.
Awful.
It was fine.
How's your Konami ID?
Okay, that was terrible.
Yeah,
but
that's what I'm
saying.
The game
itself was fine.
Like, the
okay.
Konami part was junk. Garbage. The worst.
The worst. No, that was bullshit, for sure.
You know, and I'm still mad at them for taking away my song.
Yeah, I know, that was lame. Mm-hmm. But they had other songs in it that were good.
Yeah, they were fine.
They were fine. Just saying, just don't forget the love. Don't forget how much fun you had fighting Ocelot on top of that ship with all the music.
I did like that.
It was fun. Crawling, remember the crawling scene? Just tap X to crawl.
Here's the thing. It's just like, you know, like, whenever you do any kind of creative work, it's usually a little too long. You have to kind of go back and say, okay, well, I need to cut stuff from this.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
Probably not. And I think when you think back on something on Metal Gear Solid 4, it's very easy to remember cutscenes. And there were, for sure, a lot of cutscenes. Okay. I feel like we're talking about Metal Gear Solid 4 too much. The game came out forever ago. Let's move on.
Yes.
Metal Gear Solid 5, I would like it. All right, here's our community topic, and we're going to start with us two. If you could uncancel what one game?
Ooh, I know my answer.
What's your answer?
Warcraft Adventures.
Oh, that's a good one.
All the way.
That's a real good one.
I mean, especially since they did make that book, and I read the book, and I love it. I just want to play that game.
I'm sure it would have been good.
Tony J was the voice of Orgrim Doomhammer. Come on!
It seems like what they were mostly upset about was the animation quality.
Yeah. Resurrect that shit. They have all the auto files. They have the story. They have the design. Just remake it.
They got to do
right
something. They would have to do a lot of things different. Like, there's a part in that, like, because the tone of Warcraft has changed a lot since then. There was a scene where you go and, like, talk to Deathwing. And this way before Deathwing was reimagined as the World Breaker. He's just, like, literally sitting around in some cave, smoking out of a hookah.
Oh, that was Deathwing?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I remember that. I know the screenshot you're talking about.
Right, exactly. So it's like, okay, you're going to have to rethink it a little bit, maybe. That would never happen, though. It's sad. Dead game, dead genre.
I know, but just...
For the most
part. There's a big GameSpot article that had, like, voice clips and everything from it. Man, it was going to be so good. Damn, now I kind of want to reread that book.
You know, there's other adventure games, too. Remember how there was going to be, like, just a real Sam MX 2 made by LucasArts?
Oh, that's another one I'd uncancel
in a heartbeat. I still wonder what that one would have been.
That trailer was awesome.
Full Throttle 2.
That I didn't miss. Well, which one? There were a couple canceled Full Throttle
The one that
games.
Was really far away. That like looked like it may have accidentally been too much of an action game.
Yeah, that one looked dumb. But there was like an actual Full Throttle 2.
I think the one I'm always going to have the most morbid curiosity about is Sonic Extreme.
Yeah.
It's weird.
People forget there was not a proper Sonic game for the Saturn.
How weird is that? Me. Probably did not help them much.
No.
Like, it's just even weird thinking about that fishbowl lens thing. You know what's weird? Because I remember early trailers for that game did not have that fishbowl lens weird shit going on that, like, you can find on YouTube now when you, like, look for gameplay of the game, like, from leaked alpha versions of it.
Yeah, I mean, you can play that.
I almost don't want to. You know what was you know which one seems the weirdest to me out of all of them? Hmm. Was Star Fox 2.
Yeah, well,
it was done!
It was going to come out the same time as Star Fox 64.
That's why they didn't release it. We're like, well, we're not going to cannibalize the market. Buy Star Fox 2. It was done!
Well, that
you can go play that now, and it's basically a complete game.
Yeah. I never did. I should.
That's weird to me. Anything else? And that Pirates of the Caribbean game from not too long ago. That was sad.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Anything else sticking out to you? I mean, there's a lot.
Right.
Go on and on. But I'll say Song Extreme, you can say Warcraft Adventures.
All right.
Okie dokie then. So I guess that'll take us into our week in gaming.
Okay.
Well, we guess we got our 3DSs.
3DS! Woo! I have mine right here.
How's it going?
It's pretty good.
I love when you first turn it on that first time. It does the thing where, like, now we're going to activate the 3D.
Yeah, calibrated. And you're like, woohoo!
The logo just comes out. It's like, hell's yes. But no, I'm very, like, you know, we've gotten to play 3DS, so we now know what to expect. But it's still all very neat. Playing, like, showing people the AR cards and stuff like that is always fun.
I'll tell you what, taking 3D pictures is way more fun than I thought it would be.
It is.
It's awesome.
Just when you just kind of show other people. Like, right now, there is very much that factor. Like, hey, look, I have something new. Let me show everybody it. Look at this technology. Lol. But, I mean, the game Super Street Fighter 4 is pretty much great on it. It's basically Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
You know, some people complain about the lack of buttons. I feel like their touchscreen solution on Pro Mode was a pretty acceptable compromise for it.
It does work well?
It works fine for me. Because, well, it just, you know, on the right side of the screen, you know, like that top right corner, the bottom right corner is just all the punches together, then all the kicks together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the buttons are there. I mean, let's not forget that the Xbox controller doesn't have 6 face buttons either.
Right.
It's not a huge loss for me. I feel like the only people who are complaining about this are people who, like, play Street Fighter 4 with an arcade stick and count frames.
Yes.
Otherwise, this is perfectly adequate. Also, some people, like, really upset about weird things to me. Like, the static backgrounds. Like, the fact that things don't move around in the backgrounds. That does not bother
me very
much.
It's, like, mildly disappointing, but it's, like, whatever.
Thanos still disappoints me, and you point this out. And that's just with Super Street Fighter 4 in general, is that they got rid of the awesome song.
I know.
They got rid of that. I can feel it coming over me. I feel it all around
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was... But no, it's Super Street Fighter 4, which is great. I like Pilot Wings a lot. Some people were down on Pilot Wings, too.
I love Pilot Wings.
I was, like, expecting it to be
worse. I figured I'd like
it,
like, fine. Yeah, it's actually really fun.
No, it's very much exactly like how I remember Pilot Wings being.
Yeah, it brings back that feeling of playing the old one perfectly.
Oh, it does.
I'm really impressed by it.
And it's also, it's definitely the best 3D showcase of the games I have so far.
Because
you have your character, and he's, you know, coming.
Well, there's a surprising amount of stuff to do in that game.
Oh, there is, for sure. Yeah, I kind of thought people were more down on that than they should have been. Brings back, because, I mean, it's not like a Monkey Ball game where we get a new Monkey Ball game every 2 years forever. We haven't had a Pilot Wing since 1996.
I know.
So this is time. Yeah, this is good shit for me.
Like, I'm surprised. There's a ton of variety to it. Yeah, they come up with some interesting things for you to do in that game.
For sure. I have Nintendogs. I just kind of mess around with it. So far, it's just exactly like I remember the original Nintendogs being, but in 3D.
Well, how does it work? Because you can't pet the dog. It's on the 3D screen.
No, it's kind of interesting. They have, like, a shadow on the bottom, and you just rub it there, like a silhouette, and then it just shows it up top. It works fine.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'll have to check.
One thing I haven't done yet is try to play a DS game on it.
I threw in Pokemon, just very briefly. It looked fine.
Really? Because I've been hearing a lot of complaining.
They need to calm the fuck down. Really? It looked fine.
I was almost getting worried about that. Like, oh man, I better hold on my DS. Everyone says it looks terrible. In the back of my head, I'm like, I bet everyone's really exaggerating. Because everyone complained a lot about how Game Boy Advance games looked on the DS. That never bothered me.
Right. So, I threw in Pokemon. I didn't do any of the scaling or anything.
That seems to be our general consensus. A lot of people are trying to be down on this system, and I do not know why.
I think people are still indignant that it costs $250.
They need to get the hell over it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to buy one, you want to wait a little bit, that's fine. You're probably going to... But, I don't know. People are mad because they think, oh, there's going to be a new one coming out. And, you know, there are. And I'm not kidding myself. I fully expect to buy a better version of a 3DS in 2 years.
Yeah, one with, like, better battery life and thinner design.
That seems to be, like, a legit thing. Although, the way I play a handheld system, I usually only play it in bed. So,
yeah.
Having that charging station for me, it's fine, and I never...
Oh, yeah, because I want to hug the man who said we should include a charging dock. It's awesome.
Maybe that's where the $50 is right there. How much do charging docks usually cost?
I mean, that thing's kind of cheap, really, but...
But it's a charging dock. I love that thing.
Yeah, it's nice.
I just have it on my nightstand right by my bed. It's great.
Mm-hmm. See, the other game I picked up was Ghost Recon. Hang on, what's the full title? Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Shadow Wars.
Is that the one, like... It's basically kind of like Advance Wars?
No, it's actually... It was designed by the guy who made XCOM.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's really good. I mean, it's probably the only game on the 3DS launch lineup that's truly original and unique.
Oh. See, that is kind of the one problem with... Like, as much as I like these games that got in the launch lineup, they're all either ports or sequels. And, right. Like, sequels that are very similar to the last game.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I think about other games I maybe want, like Rayman 2 3D. Well, Rayman 2 again, shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
But yeah, I mean, to give you kind of a quick overview of it, it's like a top-down, turn-based strategy game. If you played XCOM or Advance Wars, you're kind of in familiar territory where, so far in my squad I've had, the squad leader, the sniper, the medic.
They're like the characters are kind of generic. They're like practically G.I. Joes.
Well, yeah. Basically. You're not playing this for the story.
No.
Even though it says Tom Clancy on it, we all know that means nothing now.
For sure.
But yeah, the mechanics that it has in place are like distance affects your damage. So you have you'll be in a hit range, but then every weapon has an optimal range. And then what's cool too is like when you go to target an enemy, it'll show their health meter. The red portion is how much damage you're for sure gonna do. Yellow is potential damage, and then green is how much health the enemy's for sure going to have left. So you'll know if you're going to kill a guy outright, if you might kill a guy or whatever, just by glancing at that, which is cool. As you chip away at guys and you get more, when you kill someone, you like power up your bonus meter. So like for the squad leader, he gets to do a shot that does double damage, and he gets to act one more time. You know, the medic gets like a super heal. The sniper just does a super damaging shot. Then after each mission, you get 2 points you could spend to level up your squad, and the ultimate level up for them is a new weapon. And the 3D effect in it's just kind of there. It's subtle. It works really well. It's just a really good game. The only thing's disappointing about it is like it's a good single player game. There's pass and play multiplayer, and that's it. There's no wireless multiplayer. There's no internet play. There's nothing using Street Pass or Spot Pass. So it's kind of bare bones in that regard.
Have you turned the 3D off yet?
No.
Not at all?
No, I actually haven't.
I feel like I haven't played anything long term. I can see myself, like, if I was playing Zelda, and I'm, like, on, like, a 3-hour streak of Zelda, I would be like, okay, that's enough of that.
I was like, yeah, I guess I haven't played anything that long. I mean, this was a busy week for me, so I played 3DS before bed a little bit, and... Well, let's just say it, on the crapper.
Right.
That's where most of my playtime for it took place, so yeah. But, I mean, Have you played with, like, the AR games and everything?
Yeah, a little. Not a whole lot, really, no.
I played, I shot the dragon, like everyone did, and I did. There's one. It's actually really cool. I wish it was longer, actually. It starts creating almost, like, mini golf courses on the table. And there's, like, a ball, and you have to hit it with, it's not a golf club, it's a pull cue. And you have to just knock it into targets. It's really cool.
Really?
Like, and, you know, the way you aim the ball is by physically moving to where you want the pull cue to be, and you hit it. So I put it on my bed, so it looked like my bed was morphing into these, like, mountains that I was knocking these balls through. It was really neat. The other one I did, too. I didn't do all of them yet. The other one is just where you could put down the character cards that come with it and just pose, like, Mario and Samus and stuff around and take pictures.
I messed with that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But then, have you done much with Face Raiders?
I played that at E3, actually.
Oh, I love Face Raiders. The tech is so cool. The way how you could take a person's face and, like, it animates it perfectly. So, like, it talks, it laughs at you, it makes faces, shows expression. Like, it's really cool.
No, yeah, that was fun when I played it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, when I played, I do turn that 3D slider down a good deal sometimes. Especially it depends on the game. Pilot Wings,
it gets turned down.
Pilot Wings is ridiculous on the max setting. Like, what are you trying to do to me? Christ. I just feel cross-eyed when I'm playing it.
But, now, have you had a spot pass or street pass work for you yet?
No. Like I said, I basically just played it in my room so far.
Yeah. No, I did. I had to go to Duquesne on Monday, and while there, I picked up somebody's me. I just got to say, the first time that happens, it's actually pretty freaking cool.
Have breaking news, kind of. Not really. Oh, don't get excited.
Go ahead. Break some news.
But apparently you can go to Pokemon.com and do some shit, and you can get a free EV evolution.
Oh, shit. I didn't mean to talk about that. I did that. Yeah, okay. Let me break that down for you. Do you like Arkanoid?
Yes.
Do you like breakout games in general?
Yes, but most importantly, I love EV evolutions.
Now, here's my question. Do you like really shitty breakout games?
Depends if I get an EV evolution.
Well, you do get an Eevee evolution. Listen,
I will play anything, AJ.
This is how this meeting had to go, because they have that Pokemon World website where you enter the Pokemon Dream thing, and I think it's out in Japan, but it's some kind of web connectivity to go with Pokemon Black and White. And this is, like, it's not here yet, so this is kind of like to get people ready for it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you play this breakout clone, and, like, instead of power-ups dropping, elements drop, whichever element you collect the most of, that's the Eevee you get. But you have to beat 4 levels of this. It is the most awful breakout game I've ever played.
I don't care.
It's terrible.
I don't care.
No, I mean, I died on the 4th stage and restarted it and played through it again so I could get my damn Jolteon.
Oh, I can't wait to get I hope I get a Vaporeon.
You will. But here's, like, this meeting had to go, like, we need something to excite people for the Pokemon World website. We'll give them a free Eevee. I don't want to spend a lot of money on this. Frank, didn't you just take a Java course when you were in college? Yeah. What'd you make in there? I made a breakout game. It was in chapter 1 of the textbook. I was going to call it Javanoid, but it turned out that was taken. I couldn't think of a better name than that. You think you could make that again? Maybe. It might be a little rough around the edges. I mean, I haven't done Java in a few years. Go ahead, Frank, do it. And make it as shitty as you can.
Here's
a great idea, Frank. As someone's moving the paddle to bounce the ball, we should have the game stutter so it stops moving, but the ball does, and they miss.
AJ, you get an Eevee evolution. This means that I will be able to breed this thing and get as many Eevees as I possibly could want.
Not if it's male. You need female.
I will get a female. And if not, well, you can find something.
I think you have to mate it with a Ditto, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, sometimes there's other compatible things. Like the Ditto just works with everything.
Doesn't the mother typically define the breed?
Okay, I think that's actually true. I don't know. What I'm saying is I'll figure something out.
Anywho, 3DS. There's something else I was going to talk about with it.
Really? Because I feel like we're pretty good. I feel like I'm done talking about the 3DS.
Oh, do you enjoy the OK Go music video?
I didn't see that actually yet.
Oh, man.
I don't think I actually really connected online yet.
You should. Yeah, because I asked you for your friend code, like, the day it came out, you just didn't answer me.
I think I was in bed. I was tired.
It was, like, 11 o'clock at night. There was no way you were in bed.
I don't know. There was some reason where I remember I ignored it very purposely, and there was a good reason why. if that makes you feel any better.
Uh-huh.
Does it?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I ignored your friend request.
That's the other thing, too, though. I mean, friends on this system, it feels like an actual thing. Like, you get notifications when a friend comes online, and you could look and see, like, their me and what game they're playing when they're online. It's bizarre.
I guess so. We done talking about the 3DS?
Yeah, sure.
I like it a lot. We should name this episode after it.
Okay.
We should call this episode In Stunning 3D.
Okay.
I got the WWE All-Stars game.
Oh, sweet. I want to play it this weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's great. I love it.
Yay.
Like, it's very... The big complaint is that there aren't enough modes because it's the first one, you know? Mm-hmm. You know how it is with, like, games that are clearly going to have a lot of sequels, probably.
Right.
Like, imagine, like, you know how, like the Tiger Woods games, like, all the little features they've added throughout the years. Imagine going back to the first one, it doesn't have much. Like, right. you have, like, there's a one thing that's basically, like, the arcade mode with, like, a slight storyline to it. And there's, like, the tag team arcade mode. And there's, like, the match stipulations. Like, the coolest mode is the one where it's, like, the fantasy matches where it very specifically puts you, like, two people against each other, like, you know, put Cena and Hogan together.
Right.
And this is where you unlock a lot of characters, too, and stuff like that. That's the one thing it kind of does well is that a lot of fighting games, like, don't really work in the unlock incentive. Like, Marvel's Capcom 3 almost didn't have enough for you to unlock for fun. Whereas that was a big draw of 2 was unlocking stuff. And this one, there's a lot of wrestlers to unlock, but more importantly, each character has a pretty good, like, alternate costume.
Oh, yeah?
And, like, for wrestling fans, it's like, you know, for, like, Shawn Michaels, his normal thing is, like, his last DX outfit. But you can unlock his, like, 1996, like, Shawn Michaels sexy boy outfit.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? And, like what I'm saying, like, they're very alternate outfits. It's not just a palette swap. Mm. And, like, well, like, the whole thing, your enjoyment of the game is going to completely depend on how much of a wrestling fan you are.
Well, of course.
Because the roster is pretty awesome. It's a great roster. They have a lot of, like, legends on there that have not been in a wrestling game in a long time, like, especially Randy Savage. I can't remember the last time he was in one. You have Ricky Steamboat in there and stuff like that. It's a great roster. It's a lot of fun to play. Everyone knows it's very arcadey and silly.
Yeah, I mean, if there was ever a franchise that needed a reboot, it was this.
Right. And it's, like, it still has some depth to it. It's not a button masher. Or anything like that. It's still very much fun. One of the things I love too is in that fantasy like matchup thing, it'll do like a promo before, like a very WWE style video promo, like just like they would do before a match, and they'll like kind of cut together video clips of the two wrestlers as if they were like doing a promo with each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Like the one was like Austin versus CM Punk, like different lifestyles. You know, Austin just drinks beer and CM Punk is straight edge. And like to see them like kind of cutting a promo against each other, it was just really neat. But no, basically the whole thing is a lot of fun, and if you're a big wrestling fan of any period, you'll be into it.
Have you played with the creator wrestler much?
Not really. I don't really have much desire to in this one. Like in the other series, that's a big draw for me. That's kind of the whole point. But in this one, like the whole point is, no, I want to play as these guys.
Right.
I heard it's not as in depth, anyways.
Well, I guess the big thing is like you can't define every move. You just pick a character to replicate, and then you can pick finishers.
Right. Yeah. See. Yeah. Kind of lame.
Yeah, clearly, especially, like, remember the creative finisher they had in the other games, which was just ridiculous looking?
Yeah.
But don't you feel like that would work in this game now really well?
Sure. But that was one of the good things that the last games had. That even SmackDown vs. Raw 2006 had an amazing creative wrestler thing. That's what's kind of the draw for those. So I guess it's kind of expected to be in there, and I bet they didn't even want to do it. And they're like, no, you have to, and they kind of threw it together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be better next year. Who knows? If they do another one, I hope they do. I really like it. People seem to be digging it, right?
Yep.
You know what? It's not unlike. Remember how they made that Legends of WrestleMania game a few years ago?
Yeah.
Kind of like that, but better, basically.
Okay.
They did a better job. Let's see. Besides that, I beat Dragon Age 2.
Oh wow.
Yes. Well, it's not. Oh wow. It's been out for a while. You just don't play games.
I've been busy.
I'm on Act 1 still.
I haven't played it in a week.
I still very much like it, but the complaints about it are so valid. I feel like this is going to be a bit of a stain on BioWare's record in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Just some of the choices are weird. Just basically reusing the maps. And I know everyone's been harping on that. People are probably getting sick of hearing that. But there have got to be only 5 dungeons in that game. It's ridiculous. It's a little silly. I think maybe the game just needed another year. I don't know. It's also episodic. It's really weird. It's just so different than the kind of typical BioWare globe-spanning or universe-spanning RPG. It basically felt like it was the preface to Dragon Age 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're basically just getting ready to that. We're going to introduce this character and do some stuff. And I did like it. I liked a lot of characters and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Still, they're just weird choices. But, you know, I'm still on board Dragon Age. I almost want to say Mass Effect all the time. Trying to think. I bought...
Speaking of Mass Effect...
Well, yeah, you got the Arrival DLC in
yes.
it, right?
It's good, not great.
That seems to be the consensus.
Of the four DLC for it, it's easily my least favorite.
There's four DLC? What's the other two?
Well, there was the Overlord, Operation Overlord, the Kasumi one, and the Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Because I actually bought Lair of the Shadow Broker, and I'm going to finally play through
it's
that.
It's so good.
Right.
That's the thing. That's the problem, too. Lair of the Shadow Broker was the most amazing piece of DLC I've ever played. And then this was just... here's the thing. The story stuff of it is cool. It's a good setup for Mass Effect 3, and it's pretty neat. The gameplay of it... First of all, it's a solo mission. So you don't get to take anyone from your squad.
Oh, that's lame.
Which was really lame. Especially because the way I kind of tweaked the game and played it... My Commander Shepard is the class that's pretty much just shooting. I have access to every gun, and I have like all the ammo types. Because I figure... I'd rather be in direct control of the good shooting person in my squad, and, I mean, I could just control the squad's powers anyway.
Right.
So why waste the shooting, you know?
I know what you mean, yeah.
So now I was just left with all the guns and really no powers to speak of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it's very shooting heavy. There's one part midway through where it's just wave after wave of enemies. You know, there's a lot of just corridor shooting and stuff. So, like, the gameplay of it was kind of weak. The story's good. But, yeah.
Do you think Mass Effect 3 is going to really recognize if you played these VOC at all?
Like,
I'm almost worried about that. Like, if I don't play it, then like I'm going to miss out on stuff.
This one, I feel like if you didn't play this one, they could just kind of pretend it didn't happen and it'll be fine. But if you do, I could see how they could work it into the game.
Yeah. By the way, to go back to Dragon Age for a second, I really wish you'd beat it, because there's a lot of specific stuff I want to talk about, but it's so spoiler-heavy.
Yeah, someday.
Yeah, probably like 6 months from now, knowing you. You know what I haven't played? It was Episode 3 of Back to the Future that came out.
Yeah, I saw you haven't finished Episode 2.
2 was weird to me.
Hmm.
I heard 3 is kind of dark and weird.
Huh.
I don't know if I'm right
for it. Did you see the new trailer for Jurassic Park?
No, not really. I kind of saw one gameplay thing of it. It was enough to wait and see what people say when it comes out.
Hmm. I'm excited.
I'm not excited, I guess. I'm not avoiding it. But, you know, not excited. We'll see. Did you play anything else?
I just want to say, because while I was working on my film, the only thing I could really play for a few seconds here and there was Dragon Age Legends still on Facebook. It's actually really fun.
Just don't tell me. You already talked about that last week.
I know, I just wanted to plug it again.
I mean, I've been playing Little Wings.
If anyone wants to make a healer, that'd be good.
Lol. That's still that problem where there's only one healer in this game.
I know.
And, like, there was a one point where there's, like, basically, like, this is not a spoiler, there's basically a decision to have him stay or go, right, the healer.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter what I thought my character should do. He's the healer. I need him. Mm-hmm. And I wish my character would have reflected that more, been like, oh, well, no, I need you. You can't go. Not like, no, you're my friend. Please stay. I feel like that's the problem with these games where, like, you can control emotions and stuff like that. And, like, you are your character so much. When it doesn't work, when the character doesn't react how you mean him to. Like,
yeah.
If you do something that you think is justifiably good and it gives you negative points for it, you get mm-hmm. pissed off.
Yeah.
That's kind of the side effect. These things. Okay. Why don't we talk about the releases then?
Okay.
So, Shift 2 Unleashed, 360, PS3, PC.
I wonder if this is good.
It's Shift. Super Street Fighter 4, the 3D edition for 3DS. That's weird, 3DS games, isn't that? New system. Yay. Mm-hmm. WWE All-Stars, PS3, PS2, Wii, PSP, and 360.
Came out on the PS2? I didn't know that.
These games always do. I wonder what that looks like. It's weird. And 10 dogs plus cats, all of them, you know, 3DS. Yeah. The third birthday for the PSP, it's weird because this is...
It's out?
Yeah, this is actually a Parasite Eve sequel, right?
Yeah, isn't it just like a very shitty third-person shooter?
That's what... Reviews aren't positive. And it's weird that they, like, are avoiding the...
Oh, wait, I mean, the title's just the third birthday.
Yeah, like, they're avoiding the Parasite Eve name for whatever reason.
Huh? That's like the game's saving grace.
Dynasty Warriors 7, 360 and PS3. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12, The Masters, 360.
Apparently this is good.
Well, I'd hope so.
I want to get it for PS3 because the Move Sport's supposed to be nice, too.
NASCAR 2011, the game for 360 and PS3.
Not to be confused with, you know, the other NASCAR product that has the PlayStation and Xbox logo on it.
Right. Pilot Wings Resort for 3DS. See, like, GameSpot gave Pilot Wings Resort a 6.5.
Really?
That was rude. That's so hard. Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars for 3DS. And The Legend of Heroes.
Trails in the Sky.
I just like that. The Legend of Heroes. Wow.
It's the first in a new trilogy.
Oh, awesome. For PSP.
The established Legend of Heroes RPG series. I didn't know that was an established series.
I bet there's a lot of really crappy JRPGs for the PSP, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, you skipped two. Free Realms came out for PS3.
Fascinating.
It's the free-to-play MMO. It's the first of its kind on a console.
I would hope it'd be free-to-play since it's called Free Realms.
Yeah.
I wonder how that works. And probably curiosity. See, whenever I see, like, whenever I don't see box art, I assume it's a shitty game and I don't talk about it. All right. I guess that's everything.
Yep.
So, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. I'm going to put the community question up there. If you could uncancel one game, what would it be? Do that, and we'll get you on the next show. You can also find us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com and on Exploding Barrel. I also said explodingbarrel.wordpress.com again. Twitter.com/explodingbarrel. And, you know, we're on iTunes and Zoom Marketplace. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.